I do apologize if I got too loud, but I get a little excited when you talk about Jesus. When you start talking about Jesus and the names that the Bible has given to us about Him, about our Savior, about the Son of God, then you get a little excited. And then especially reading that passage that I did read of the pastor it's very well known, and his name just went right out of my head. I can't remember his name. Anyway, those of you that's been at the prayer advances, I know Harold Vaughn usually has those on Locknear. That's right. I got it in my Bible right there. Maybe it might be at the house. Anyway, if you will turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Pastor Boone was telling me that he's been bringing a message or a series of messages on prayer. And from the way Paul was talking, normally I believe you all go verse by verse through the Bible, and that's the way I like to do it as well. I like to take a chapter and then go verse by verse. So if you all are willing, we'll be here till midnight. We're going to work through all of Hebrews tonight. Okay, I guess we can just do a small passage there in chapter 4. But the title of my message tonight is Timely Help. God wants His people, His children, to pray. He also promises results when we pour out our heart to Him. When you spend time in prayer, it draws us closer to the Lord. But it's more than just, I'll talk about this in a little bit, but it's more than just, God, I need, God, I need, God, I need. If I called Mom and Dad up, they'd probably say, well, that's about the only time He calls anyway. Hey, Dad, I need. I wouldn't have a whole lot of very much of a relationship. Now, we probably text more now than I probably call anymore. But, you know, you need to talk. You need to talk with family members. You need to talk with your spouse, your children. And it's the same thing with God. You need to talk with God. You got to spend time with Him. And, you know, this is the biggest downfall for most Christians. We don't spend enough time in prayer. How many of you go down the road praying? I hope you don't close your eyes. Okay, good. But that's a great time, especially when you're by yourself. Just spend some time with the Lord. Cut the radio off and just say, Lord, I'd just like to talk to you a little bit. And the thing is, we can come before our Heavenly Father and just talk with Him, just like you would each other here. Just sit down and it's, Lord, this is on my heart. You know what's going on, and I need to talk to You. And we don't spend enough time in prayer. Most Christians believe that since they've accepted Jesus as their Savior, that everything will be perfect from here on out. Everybody had a perfect life since you've been saved? Yeah, me neither. It's been some downfalls, been some ups and downs, and good times and rough times, and times that I was really on my knees in prayer, and times that I probably should have prayed more, but the Bible never said it was going to be a bed of roses. And Jesus even said, if they persecuted me, how much more are they going to persecute His servants, the ones that follow Him? So we need to expect, we here in the United States, we have a good life. We have a very good life, especially as Christians. There's Christians in China that are being put to death. There are Christians that are in Iraq and Iran that, if they mention the name of Jesus, or if anybody even thinks that you're a Christian, they will kill you on the basis of you're a Christian. So we have freedom beyond belief because of Jesus and because of where we live here in the United States. But prayer is not only for when we are in need, but prayer is when we need Him. Prayer is needed to get to know God on a personal level. It's for hearing God's small, still voice. There are times that I'll be at work and I just think, Lord, you know, and it's because he's saying, hey, we need to talk. We need to spend some time. And He knows something's on my mind. And instead of me just sitting there bowling over it, I need to just go ahead and talk to Him. But prayer is commanded. The Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. So we as Christians need to make sure that we spend time in prayer. And I'm sure Pastor Boone has been over this plenty with you. You know, pray, 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 pray. Little prayer, little power. Some prayer, got some power. But we as Christians, if you want to have power in the name of Jesus, you got to spend a lot of time in prayer. And it gives you a lot of power, a lot of strength no one, God Himself. Hebrews chapter 4, let me find it myself here. Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 12 and read through 16. Let me put my eyes on here. Hebrews chapter 4, 12 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, as we are. I'm sorry. I said 12 then. Let me back up to 12 then. Thank you all. I've got 14 highlighted, so that's where I start. All right, let me start over here. Can we rewind and try this again? Verse 12. For the word of... All right, now we're messed up here. My tongue ain't right though. All right, one more time. Verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I'm glad we did go back, because I'm going to be talking on some of that there. So sorry about that, but let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we really get started here, okay? Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to come before your throne of grace. Father, we come to you just giving our offerings and our songs, our worship as we bow our heads and come before you, worshiping the one true God, the creator of everything. You name it, you created it. Father, we thank you for being able to be able to come talk to you and spend time with you. Father, I thank you for allowing me to be here tonight, being able to preach and speak before your children here. And I ask that you will just fill each one individually with the Holy Spirit. Fill us all wholly with your Holy Spirit so that we may all learn a little bit, grow a little bit, maybe a lot, according to your will. But Father, I ask that you will. Each person tonight is able to walk away with something new and afresh in their heart, knowing that it's been good to open your word and to study it. Father, I thank you for loving us the way you do, the love that you shared to us through your Son Jesus. Help us to share that love through us and through our lives with others. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we have an open invitation. God encourages us to pray. When we bow our heads and close our eyes, we should have a certain destination in mind, and that is the throne of grace. What helps me sometimes is I actually try to picture a throne, maybe like way up above, and a glorious, beautiful, bright, shining, but inviting throne, one that's just warmth. The colors are just warm, and I desire to come before that throne. Not a scary throne, but a throne of grace, a time where I know that I'm not going to be judged. You want to know why I'm not going to be judged? Because God placed all judgment upon Jesus. So I could go before God and knowing that He loves me, that He cares for me, that I could talk with Him. Now this throne of grace, this is where God Himself sits. Now that is something that each one of us has to come to terms with, is who is God? Who is God to you? Is God just this great judge that you're afraid of? If you mess up and make a mistake, He's going to, you know, beat you down, He's going to tear you up, or is he an untouchable God? You know, he created everything, then he just kind of stepped back and said, okay, you're on your own, or is he a God that of the Bible, the way the Bible teaches, a God that is that you can go to, a God that you can talk with. This is something that you yourself have to come to terms with. But let me tell you something. God is not in the trees. You can't go out there and hug God. God's not in the flowers. Yes, they're beautiful, but He's not there. God's not in the wind. Yeah, we call that an act of God when the wind destroys many things, but He's not there. Jesus told us to worship God. We must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is in the spirit world, and it's hard for us to comprehend. And, you know, Hollywood and TV and all this has really messed up our mindset of the spirit world and thinking that we can contact the other side. And when people pass on, they come back and talk to us and they watch over us. And let me tell you something. No offense, but when I die, I don't want anything to do with this world no more. Because I'm going to be in the most wonderful, most beautiful place ever. And if your family member, loved one, whoever passes on, they're going to be the same way. They're going to be in the presence of God. They're going to be in the presence of Jesus. And yes, they're going to be concerned about the loved ones that are not saved. But knowing that you're saved and knowing that they're saved, just it's a comfort. And when they're in before Jesus, standing before Jesus, they're not thinking about this unholy earth, the sin-filled earth here. God lives in the spirit world. This is where Jesus came from, where He resides even now. So when we pray, we must recognize we are standing before the throne of grace. It's called the throne of grace only to Christians. Raise your hand if you're a Christian. Everyone saved? Okay, good. Because this message is to Christians only. Because an unsaved person, the only prayer that God's going to hear from an unsaved person is, God, forgive me of my sins. Please save me. That's the only prayer. People can say, well, I'll pray for you. Well, you're not a Christian. You're not saved. Are you? Are you saved? Great. Pray for me. If you're not, you better pray for yourself first. But this message is only for Christians and those who know Jesus as their Savior. And the thing is, as we pray, we need to spend a lot of time in prayer just asking for forgiveness for our own sins. Now, you may not have sinned in today as in cuss somebody out or had a really mean thought or a bad thought, but you may have sinned in thinking that you're too good and you don't do those things, you know? And so sometimes we need to say, Lord, as I come before You, let me ask You, did I sin against You? Because You alone are who I sin against. And allow the Holy Spirit to point out those spots. Ask for forgiveness. And then say, Lord, is there another? Is there another? Pour out, search me. Say, do what David said. Search me, God. Point out those sins. If you sit here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, then you can't boldly go before the throne of grace. Not boldly. You go before the throne of grace as a sinner, as a beggar, as unfit. But if you accept Jesus as your Savior, you walk away forgiven, redeemed. You must come before Him as judge and jury and ask for forgiveness, ask for salvation. Salvation is given freely. It is never forced on anyone. God is not going to come down. Jesus is not going to come down and say, you're going to get saved. He ain't going to do that. If you've seen the picture of Jesus outside the door knocking, you realize, and you all probably know this already, but you realize there's no door handle. The door handle's on the inside. He wants you to let Him in. He's not going to force His way in. Let me tell you something. Hell is a real place. Just in case there is someone here that's not saved, hell is a real place. Satan tries everything he can to blind the eyes of the human race. He will do anything he can to make someone believe that hell is not real. Hell was created for Satan and his followers. It wasn't created for mankind, the human race. Hell was not. But since the fall, since we sinned, since those that don't accept Jesus, then that's where they will go to, is hell. So our destination, when we go to pray, when we first bow our heads, is the throne of grace. We've got to recognize that it's holy, pure, perfect, wonderful, loving God who we're coming to. Secondly, we have an open invitation. The writer of Hebrews writes, let us therefore come boldly. Okay? Like when someone invites you out to eat with them, you ought to come with us, you know. Or when they invite you to come, they're like, come over anytime. You just go. You know, I know at mom and dad's, I can come to their house anytime I want to. I got to knock on the door and they got to let me in, but you know, I can come anytime. We are invited because we are partakers in the inheritance with Jesus, because we have been adopted into the family. We were once children of perdition. When we accepted His salvation, we were bought with a price. We were adopted into the family of God. Now, you all understand what the adoption really truly means? Being adopted as children of God, being adopted into the family means He can never say no to our inheritance. When you're adopted, see, for my children, let's put it this way. Mom and Dad, if they haven't spent all of my inheritance before they pass, I'm kidding. But they could write a will and write me out of the will because I'm born from them. But if they were to adopt a child, by law, they cannot leave them out of the inheritance at all. And that's biblical. That's from the Bible itself. That's not just laws here in the United States. That's biblical. So those of us that are adopted into the family of God, we will never, ever, ever lose our inheritance. That is awesome because that just refutes anyone believing that you can lose your salvation. If you think you'd lose your salvation, I'm sorry, but it's wrong. I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but you can't. Just like that with the adoption. You can't lose the inheritance that God has promised you. It cannot be taken away. That's why it's called eternal. We are able to come boldly because we come under the blood. This is the manner in which we come before God. I don't come in my name. I don't come in my clothing. I come clothed in the righteousness of Christ. I come clothed, covered in the blood of Christ. In the Old Testament, the high priest could not go into the Holy of Holies except for once a year. He had to bring the lamb with him, or the sacrifice that had been made in the blood of the lamb with him, or else he was rejected and he would die. The same goes for us today. We cannot approach God the Father without the blood of the lamb. That's Jesus. And we are covered. If you receive salvation, then you're covered in the blood. When Jesus died, He shed all of His blood. Has anybody here seen the movie Case for Christianity or read the book? Have you read the book? There's a part there where He talks about where the water comes out, where there's no more blood, and where Jesus was pierced. And He's like, no, you know, water, your body doesn't have that much water. But what happens is He went... The man that wrote the book, he was an atheist and he was out to disprove the Bible. He went and talked to a very well-known, very highly decorated doctor and sat down and talked with him about crucifixion and about the body. And the doctor said, well, yeah, it's true. If a person's blood is completely gone, then the insides start deteriorating. And then when you get punctured the way Jesus would have been punctured, it would have been water that would have rushed out. That's about all that's left. The blood pumped through and then it just rests out. So Jesus shed all of His blood, is what I'm trying to say, for you, for me. It took it all. It didn't take just a prick. And it took all the blood. Jesus had to die. He is our atonement for our sins. And that word atonement, I like to say we're at one meant. When we come before God the Father through the name of Jesus, we are at one with Jesus, and God the Father sees Jesus as He is looking at us. Talked about this the other day. When God sees us, He sees Jesus. He doesn't see this. He sees me, but He sees the robes of righteousness. He sees the blood. God sees us. He knows us. But when he sees that we have received salvation, He sees the sacrifice that Jesus made, the atonement that had to be made, the price that had to be paid. He sees that, and He can tell each one of us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," because of Jesus, not because of what I've done. I couldn't work hard enough. try hard enough, be good enough. But because of what Jesus did, we will hear those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." But we are under the blood, and we have put on the robes of righteousness of Jesus. The manner we are to come before God Almighty is boldly. Now, just as your child come right up to you, no matter where you are, will butt right in and ask you a question. You ever been talking with someone and your child just walk up, dad, or mom, hold on. You know, that's dad, that's mom. I can walk right up to them and say, hey, I can boldly do that. They're not afraid to ask their dad anything or for anything because that's their dad. They know their dad will give them an answer and it will be out of love no matter what the answer is. So when you come boldly before the throne of grace, you go before God, whatever answer God gives you, know that it's out of love. It's not out of malice. It's not out of hate. It's not out of God doesn't want you to have things. It's because He's got something special prepared. Sometimes we've got to wait. Sometimes it is a no because of what you're asking for. God's got something better. Sometimes it's a yes. That is what you're going to get, what you're praying for. Sometimes you've got to pray for a while because God's building up, getting you ready for whatever the situation is. Boldly means we can go before God without fear of prejudice. God looks at all saved people the same and equally. Anybody here got a favorite child? I'm mom and dad's. Stacy's not here, so I can say that. But God looks at all saved people the same and equally. God does not look at the color of our skin, the age and years we may have on us. God does not look at the amount of years as a Christian or how long you may or may not have served Him. God does not and will not treat any of His children differently than the other. All God cares about is, are you under the blood? So when you go before God, boldly go before God, at His throne of grace, we know that everything, that when we talk to Him, He's going to treat us with love. And He's not going to look at Randy and say, well, I like Randy a whole lot better. He's got a better haircut than Derek does. He's not going to do that. He's going to look at Randy and say, I love you. He's going to look at me and I love you. He's going to look at you and He's going to say, I love you. And it's going to be the same. God cannot love you any more than He does right now. And God cannot love you any less than He does right now. He loves you so much. How may we come boldly before God? The basis is therefore. We have a sure word from God. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's Word, it tells us that He loves us. This sword, this is the same sword we read about in the book of Revelation, the sword that came out of the mouth of Jesus when He returns with the armies of heaven. The sword is the Word of God that convicts and judges all mankind. You hold the sword in your hand today, this evening. This word, God's word, will be used to convict all unsaved of their sins at judgment day. There's not a person that's going to stand before God and say, but, and God's going to say, but you had my written word. Especially those that live here in the United States. Especially. You go in Dollar General and get a Bible for a dollar. Gideon's give them away for free. We have a God who already knows our needs. Verse 13 there, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Even the stuff we do in secret, God knows about. Those things that we think, I hope nobody ever finds out about. God knows. Those things that we say behind closed doors that God knows about. Nothing is hidden from the eyes of God. So when you come boldly before the throne of grace, go ahead and say, God, you know what I did. You know what I said. You know my thoughts. Please forgive me. Tell you something, if there's any animosity between you and God, God's not going to listen to you until you confess your sins. You come boldly, you know, if me and my son have a little tiff going, you know, he doesn't clean his room all the time, and I tell him, clean your room, and it's 3 days before he gets it done, he comes and says, hey, Dad, I'm going to go, no. You know, he's 19 years old, so he can kind of come and go a little bit more than what he used to. But, hey, I asked you to do something, and now you're wanting, no. Get that room clean, then we'll sit down and talk. Same thing. When we go before God, if there's any sin in our heart and our lives, we got to make sure that we get that out, we get that clean before, but we come boldly. We as children, we can come boldly before the throne of God. But if there's any sin in our lives, in our hearts, that has to be confessed. Nothing is hidden from the eyes of God. Something that's wonderful is that we have a great high priest for an advocate, a kind of go-between. In the Old Testament, the high priest was the only one who could go into the Holy of Holies and stand before God. Before he could go in, he had to sacrifice a lamb for his own sins. Before he could take the blood of a lamb for the sins of the nation. Even then, he must fill the room with smoke. Do you all know what the smoke is? What that represents? Represents prayers. You know the incense? That's prayers going up. The smoke represents the prayers of the people. How do you come before God? You pray. You talk with Him. Even then, he must fill the room with smoke because he could not see the glory of God or else he would die. God told Moses, no man could see the glory and live. Now, as we are living in the New Testament age, Jesus stands before God. Stands before God the Father, face to face. So when we come before God the Father, Jesus says, Father, one of my brothers needs to talk to you. God, Father, one of my sisters needs to talk to you. Our advocate Jesus is a knowledgeable representative. He lived the life that was perfect. He was tempted in every aspect, just as we are, every day. That's the reason he had to come as a human being is because he was tempted. Because we are tempted. I mean, how could you stand before someone and say, well, you don't really understand what I'm going through. How can you represent me before God if you've done... But Jesus was. He was tempted. Verse 15, for we have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. Yet without sin. Jesus stands before God the Father, and when Satan points out our sins, Jesus says, yes, he messed up. Anybody here ever never mess up? Me, no. Anybody here ever mess up? Stands before God, and he says, Father, they're covered in the blood. When he points to the blood, and God the Father knows we're covered, shed blood of Christ, God the Father says, but he's forgiven. Satan, move on. When we pray, we are to have a clear priority. What's the most common thing that we pray for? I want. God, I want you to. God, I want you to heal someone. God, I want you to fix this problem. God, I want you to take care of my children. God, I want you to help me at work. God, I want. God, I want. I want. The vast majority of our prayer is for the supply of our temporal needs and our wants. Sometimes we need to go before the Father and say, Father, I want what you want. Would you show me, help me to see what you want? So I can start praying for what you want. Have you ever done that? Have you ever just said, God, I want this and I want that, but I want what you want. I want to make you happy. So for me to make you happy, I have to do what you want. So Father, show me. What do you want? You know, we pray as... Father, I want this. God, I want that. God, will you give me more money? Make me feel better. We pray this way because we think this way. We're kind of taught this, especially here in the U.S. You know, I want chicken. I want cheeseburgers. I want, you know, I want an easy life. I want more money. I want... We think God is here to be our butler, our banker, our social worker. Our priority in prayer is to be spiritual needs. We are to seek the face of God. When I look at someone's face, I can kind of tell how they're reacting to the way I'm acting. You know, scared, happy, weird. Boy, that boy's weird. You know, you see it. And what I want is, when I seek the face of God, I want to know that what I'm doing is making God happy. So how do we do that? By doing what God wants. How do you make your parents happy? How do your kids make you happy? How do your grandkids make you happy? By doing what you ask them to do, right? By doing what you want. It's the same thing with God. So how are we supposed to know? Well, number one, we're supposed to read His Word. And number two, we you spend time and let God tell you. Let God show you. And then be obedient. If I want to ask you a question, I come to your house or I call you on the phone, ask you face to face. I wouldn't stand outside and not knock. Hey, Randy. He's in there asleep. He can't hear me out there. You know, I'm standing outside the window. He's got it closed, air conditioned running. And he ain't going to hear me. What am I going to do? I'm going to... I'm going to aggravate, ain't I? Hopefully, anyway, right? Get up, answer the door with a gun in my face. Probably. What do you want? But that's not the way God would do it, though. God would say, you don't even have to do that. All you have to do is Heavenly Father. You seek out the Lord. You seek His face. You go to Him face to face. You go boldly before the throne of grace to talk with the Lord. When you call upon the Lord, you must clear your mind. Seek the face of God. You must pray with intention of talking to only God. How many times you got praying and all of a sudden, whoop, right over here we go. That's Satan. Whisper that in and we're like, Lord, Lord, please forgive me. You have to confess that disrespect of letting your mind wander. We have to focus. That's the reason why I say that a lot of times I actually picture a throne, a glorious holy throne that I know I can come boldly before and talk to. Now, I don't know what God looks like. The Bible says that no man has seen God, but if you've seen Jesus. And so I know that, you know, probably He's got a face, a body, in my mind's eye. I know He's spirit, so He doesn't have a body. He doesn't have, but it's kind of hard for us to see that. But when we pray, our emphasis should always be upon our spiritual needs. Seeking God's face and saying, Father, help me. My heart is not in the right place. My mindset is not in the right place. If we seek after the spiritual things, God will provide for the physical needs as well. Philippians 4:23, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. Didn't say all your wants and desires and hope fors and maybe we can, but all of our needs according to His riches. When we seek the face of God and asking Him to supply our spiritual needs, then we will be given an abundant supply. See, when you go before God and you say, God, I want to know what Your heart wants for me. You know what God's going to do? Oh, boy. Let me just pour it out on top of you. That's what He's going to do. I mean, some people think I'm crazy thinking like, you know, that God does things like that. But He does. If you seek the face of God wanting to know what He wants, then He's going to, oh, He really wants to know my heart is what Father is saying. And if we seek His heart, if we seek His face, then He's going to pour out abundant blessings, overflow. We are given an abundant supply of mercy. We talked about mercy the other night. It's the aspect of God's character that takes pity on man and doesn't give him what he actually deserves. You know what we deserve? Eternal life in hell. That's what we deserve. We really do. You know, death. Death is eternal separation from God. Damnation beyond understanding. This is what we deserve. If you've committed one sin, the Bible says you've committed them all. If you told one little white lie, you might as well have murdered somebody. Now, I'm not saying go murder by far. Don't do that. But in God's eyes, it's all the same. A homosexual and a person that lies stands before God on the same ground as Hitler, as Karl Marx. Same ground. Stand before God. So, when we go before God, got to be covered in the blood, boldly come before His throne, seeking His face, so that we can be given an abundant supply of His grace. Grace, that aspect of God's character that looks to man's needs and gives him something that he doesn't deserve. When we ask for forgiveness, ask to receive God's salvation, receive it for eternity, grace is eternal life in heaven, eternal love. It includes everything good that we need and most of what we want. God wants to make us happy. He wants His children to be happy as we live our lives. When are we to pray? We pray when we are pressed by temptation. God always gives us a way out, but will never force His help on us. You're in the middle of getting ready to commit a sin. The Holy Spirit says, you better step to the side. You better walk away. You better turn around. You better cut it off. You better stop doing. You better stop talking. How many here you get to talk and get to run your mouth, and the worse it gets as you go, especially when you get a little mad. Now, Holy Spirit's back here. Shut up, 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 shut up. And you get off me. He always gives us a way out, but He's never going to force us. When are we to pray? Pressed by temptation. When we are in danger, of course. When we are in doubt, start doubting yourself. You start doubting God's love. You start doubting your ability to serve God. You start doubting Him. That's when you really need to start praying for assurance. Draw closer to God. You know, you want to know why you start doubting? Because you haven't been praying. You want to know why you start doubting? Because you stepped away from God. God's never changed. He's never moved. We're the ones that come in and go out and come in and go out. So if you're doubting your salvation, you're doubting the assurance, you're doubting God, it's because you stepped away. Because you're not praying, you're not studying, you're not reading God's Word. And of course, we pray when we're sick. But what about not just physically sick, but maybe spiritually sick? Maybe you haven't been able to go to church in a couple of weeks. Or maybe you missed Wednesday night service and you haven't had that fellowship and you're just spiritually just pulled down. It's a great time to spend in prayer. I believe God is still in the healing business. I believe He is. Physically and spiritually, if it's His will. We are to pray when we are short of supplies. You know, times are tight right now. Not everybody's got jobs. Not everybody's working 40 hours. Not everybody's making the money like you did back in the 80s, you know. Economy was booming. Spend time in prayer. But those are just physical needs. What about fellowship with each other? What about the love that maybe you're not feeling? Sit down and pray, Lord, me and so-and-so just doesn't seem we're clicking very good right now. Lord, will you show me what's going on? Lord, will you show me what has come between us? It may be you. It may be them. Start praying. But most importantly, when you pray, Make sure you spend time and listen. Wait. Sometimes God answers you just like that. Sometimes He makes you sweat it out a little bit. Wait upon the Lord. Because His timing is always perfect. What more could you need? What more could you ask? And what more could He give? So when you're ready to pray, remember, come boldly before the throne of grace because you are His child. If you will, bow with me for a word of prayer and we'll turn it back over to Paul here.